Welcome back to Starting From The Pits with me, Charlotte, and Lily.
Hello.
Hello. We're back. It's been a while.
We're back. It's been a long time. It's been sad. I've missed you.
I've missed you. I've missed doing this. We've had our summer shut down. We're feeling revitalised, and we're back for more.
Need to go. What have you been up to?
So, I went on a road trip. I went over to Spain, drove the Pyrenees with some really cool people, and... yeah, I'm just about recovered, I think. It was literally like drive, drink, sleep, repeat. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Oh, it's your Taylor Swift.
Oh, God, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Three times. When I saw you went three times, I was like, this girl is taking the mic. First time we've properly spoken in a long time.
But that means there's loads to cover.
Woo! We've had two races. Le Mans's been on. Canada. And Barcelona?
Yes. Yeah, I was like, two races? But it has been.
Yeah, we've had like, what is it, like a triple header that's coming up now?
We're currently in the triple header.
Yeah, well, we're about to be two races deep into the triple header, and yeah, it's been intense. It's been good, though.
It's been good. Should we dive straight into it? What should we start with?
Start
with Barcelona, since it's fresh on our minds.
Yeah, because if I was to talk about Canada, all I'd be able to tell you was it was a good race, but I can't remember why.
Well, I feel like that same reaction is how I feel about Barcelona a bit.
Kind of same. I had to go back through articles and refresh myself as to what actually happened.
Like, lots of potential in the current races, I think. You know, Max isn't running away with it, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, with Canada and Barcelona, we've had the same race winner. And I feel like, are we expecting too much from races at the minute? Because I'm the next day thinking, oh, I actually really enjoyed watching that race, but why? And
yeah,
I feel like I'm struggling to actually explain to people, because maybe I am waiting for Max not to win, and I'm not someone that, like, I'm happy for Max to win. I think he's a great driver, but there's a lot of potential that's not stirring into anything, and I think because of how the season was last year, like, we're not satisfied unless someone else is on the top of the podium.
Yeah, I agree, but I think we also need to remember that, like, just because Max is winning and we're having the same winner, but it's not as easy, and it is more entertaining to get to that point. And I think Max must be enjoying it a lot more as well, having somebody competing with him. Because it must be a good feeling winning all the time, but also it must be so boring just being out there on your own. Like, these people want a race at the end of the day. Like, he must be enjoying this a lot more now.
100%, and, like, in Monaco, when he was just stuck for the whole race, he, like, made a funny comment, but even, like, after the race in the cool-down room, him and Lando were, like, having a joke about their first lap, and I just thought, like, I don't get why people... I know when he was younger, he was very hot-headed, but so were a lot of the drivers, and I feel like people would have seen that first lap action of Max and Lando and thought, ooh, drama, because that's... what we like, you know. Never know what Netflix is going to make on it. But actually, they were having a joke about it in the cool down room.
Mm-hmm.
I think Max said something like, oh, I went rally driving for a bit, and Lando was like, there was loads of space.
Yeah. I quite like their relationship. I feel like people always want to put whoever's winning and second place against each other, but they're making it really hard to not do that.
100%. And I feel like they're actually really happy for each other when someone wins. It's not like... I feel like sometimes when there's been drivers put against each other, it's always been like, well, he did this and he drove this and he went off the road here.
Yeah.
Whereas they kind of just accept it. Like, Lando is coming for him. And I feel like as we get going, it's going to be closer and it might not be as nice on the track.
I agree.
And I feel like we saw a tiny bit snippet in Barcelona, but I feel like it's not going to be like a Max and Lewis situation.
I know we always talk about, like, Carlos and Lando's little bromance, or Lando and Oscar's, but don't think we talk about Max and Lando enough. No.
And I feel like they might be the closest out of them.
I think they are as well, because they think they did quite a lot in lockdown together, and, like, you see them playing sports outside of Formula One together and stuff like that. So, yeah, I feel like we need to appreciate them a lot more.
Lance Stroll is confirmed for Aston Martin for 2025 and onwards, which I read the comments. My first thing was to go to the comments, and I just saw everyone moan, and I just get on with it.
You just accept that seat, for as long as Lance Stroll decides he wants to race, just accept that seat is taken and move on. Because, yes, like, I've said this many times, if you were in Lawrence Stroll's position, you would do the exact same thing.
And other drivers are paying for the seats as well, which they didn't realise.
It's just not as obvious. No.
And obviously Pierre Gasly has stayed at Alpine, which I'm actually okay, like, quite glad to see. Yeah. I know Esteban's leaving, but they've made some good improvements last couple of races.
Yeah, I agree.
Really strong, but I wonder who's going to take the other seat, which goes on to it. There's been rumours that Carlos now.
Mm.
Apparently the Williams deal was, like, signed, sealed, delivered, was meant to be announced, and now people are talking about Alpine again.
Yeah, so have you seen the photographer, that Kim Illman?
Yes.
He has said that there's extra crew from Netflix at the race this weekend.
It might have been last weekend. Yeah, because they expected the announcement.
Yeah, so I think it was meant to happen, but nothing's actually come of it, and it's kind of like, now what?
I really want him to go to Mercedes.
Same. I would love just like a random change of heart. It just happens, goes to Mercedes, because... Yeah, they're doing well. I didn't think they'd do as well as they did, but seeing Lewis back on the podium was a nice feeling.
And I know they're set on Kimi Antonelli. That brings me on to my fun fact. Sorry.
Go.
Did you know that Kimi Antonelli's first name is not Kimi?
I've heard something, but I don't know what it is.
It's Andrea. But yeah, that's my fun fact of the day. I was on TikTok before and he said it. So I thought, yeah. Share that with you. But obviously Mercedes are set on him, it seems. But in the F2, I mean, Prema as a whole are not doing really well this season. They've not been able to adapt to the new car. Mm. Ollie is really struggling. Kimi and him, I think, are similar talent. It's hard because I've not seen Kimi race. He obviously was in Formula Regional before this.
Right.
Something I've not watched. And I'm trying to tell myself, obviously, the Prema car is not good and this is not his full potential. But... we're not seeing, like, anything.
What everybody else is seeing.
Yeah, so it is quite hard, I think, for new fans of him trying to understand, because it's definitely hard for me.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, for someone like Ollie Bearman, I can say, it is the car, this is not his full potential, because I seen it last year, we've seen it in the Ferrari.
Yeah, I agree.
Will we get a Carlos announcement this weekend?
Oh, I don't know. I thought if they were going to do it anywhere, it was going to be at the Spanish Grand Prix. And obviously everybody thought it was going to happen there, but it didn't.
I know.
So, yeah, I have... Where are we this weekend? Austria?
We're in Austria at the Red Bull Ring.
Okay.
The track limits central.
Love that. And it's been resurfaced, hasn't it?
They've put gravel over it, so because... Okay. But I'm sorry to be this person. I loved it last year that you were not certain on anything.
No.
Because... every lap, someone was getting track limits. Qualifying was one of the most fun qualifying sessions last year because anyone could have got it, in my opinion.
Genuinely. I remember just looking and it said, like, track limits, track limits, track limits. And I was like, how many track limits? Like, can you all drive, please?
I know. I think it is more the circuit than the driver. So that is a good thing that they've repaired that. I wonder if it will actually make a difference.
Yeah.
But we will see. It is a sprint weekend as well.
It is. I feel like we're not on a sprint weekend in so long.
It's Miami.
That feels like a very long time ago.
Which maybe that means we might get a new winner in Oscar Piastri. I'm sorry.
That would be good.
I really want it. And obviously he's won a sprint race before and I've got something in me telling me.
Oh, it is time. Okay.
We need to do our predictions for the weekend and then we'll move on to Silverstone.
Yeah. Okay, so we're in Austria. As we've just said, predictions. What are we saying?
Well, as I've just put all my eggs in one basket, I do think Piastri is going to win the sprint race.
Okay.
Second and third. Maybe Max and then Lando. I think McLaren are going to be... I can't see McLaren falling off again.
I can't. I think Charles could have a belter. I'm not going to put him in P1. But because it's a sprint, I'm kind of basing this off how well people qualify. So
yes.
I'm going to go... Ooh, this could be quite bold. Max, Lewis, Charles.
Okay, you think
I think Lewis, they're the top three qualifiers, so they're my top three sprinters.
I don't know. Lewis's qualifying this season has not been the best.
Based off previous track record is what I'm going off.
And then actual race. I wonder what the weather's saying. I'm not going to look because that might stir me.
I want Max to win just because it's the Rebel Ring. So Rebel. I'm actually going to say Max P1 and I'll be happy with that. I'd like Carlos P2. I don't know how realistic that's going to be. And I'm going to put Oscar P3.
See, do you know how we used to put our predictions in and we'd always put Max first because there's no way he's not.
Yeah.
I feel the same about Lando on the podium now.
That's a good point.
I think, well, what's happened in the race for Lando to not be on the podium?
That's a very good point. And the fact that he was so disappointed with P2 last week, there's a lot.
It's very hard on himself. So yeah. My...
But 1 minute, let's just throw back to this time last season. They were happy if they got in the points. So it just shows how quickly they flipped this, not that car around, but the car around.
This was the race, though, that Lando got the upgrades.
It was, yeah.
And Oscar didn't have them yet. And Oscar still had a really good race, I think. But my predictions, I think I'm actually going to go another Lando win. And it's just setting the scene for Silverstone, but...
I think
it's going to be a tight one, so I still think Max is going to be on the podium. It's like we used to say, if Max hasn't won, he's not on the podium because he will have had to DNF.
Yeah. So
I think Lando, Max, and then Sergio Perez. It's got to come soon. Otherwise, Helmut Marko's been saying some stuff recently about, like, Liam Lawson in the seat again.
Yeah, Helmut Marko's been saying a lot of stuff all the time.
I know, which is, you don't want to believe it, but they called that contract too soon.
I agree. The fact that he's extended, he's basically just kicked his shoes off and put his feet up.
So, yeah, Lando, Max, Sergio.
Okay, interesting.
Rogue.
Moving on, after that...
We're going to Silverstone
for the British Grand Prix. Have you decided what you're wearing?
Yes.
Good.
Good. Well, I have dressed for sun.
Me too.
And my thing is, it is going to rain, and I know that, but it's 20 degrees, so my legs can get wet.
I've always said, if my legs are cold, I am fine. It's if my arms are cold, I'm not okay. So, yeah. So I put a TikTok on my personal one of what people are wearing. But somebody commented just like, oh, just wear what you want. It doesn't really matter. We're there to watch racing, not what you're wearing. And I was like, yeah, but I want to feel good while I'm there, for a start.
I will be. If someone's got a cute outfit on, I'll be going.
Same.
And also, I think it's nice, like, as fans that, you know, we strive and thrive. Is that the word?
Strive and thrive
to, like, be in the paddock one day and... you know, where you get to wear these nice clothes. And I think putting that little effort into your race day outfits, even if you're in general admission, it just brings us joy as, like, you know, I'm not saying boys so it is, but as a girl, like, that's what I love. And
fashion's such a big thing for me. And I love that Formula One is bringing more crossovers with fashion. Yeah. Like, Lander, is it the McLaren and Levi's collab recently?
I don't want to look at the price, though, but
me neither, but I love that jacket so much. And, like, the McLaren and Reese, is it Reese? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
That collab, unbelievable. And it's the price, but unbelievable.
Some of it is affordable, though. There are some.
Yeah, there's a few bits. Because, again, I don't think people, I think you've said this before, people don't understand the brand Reese. Like, if you look at their normal products, their price point is very high anyway.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't expect it to be any less anyway for McLaren.
Silverstone.
I discovered I'm sat at Stowe.
Stowe. We sit at Farm Curve, not in the ground. We're generally.
I think it's like you can see the straight and a bit of a chicane. Maybe.
Let me check because you might be near me.
I think we're pretty good seats, you know.
I'm actually so excited. So I went last year purely just for the qualifying day, and it was the best day of my life.
I'm so excited the fact that I'm going for the full weekend now.
I
can't believe I forgot to tell you.
I know!
This section, I was like, did I say I'm proof for the whole week? And she was like, no. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
Stowe. Oh, no, you're on the opposite side of me.
Oh.
Here's the map. So you're here. So, oh, yeah. Right. Just, and then I'm here, so just past the Hamilton Street.
I'll wave to you when I see you on TV.
I just can't believe... this is a good talking point to move on from if we talk about Silverstone. The comment from the chief of Silverstone that the tickets haven't sold because of Max Verstappen.
Sorry, no.
I know everyone's already talked about this, but I have my 2 cents.
Lay it on the table.
Bringing it back to the influencers. How many times have I sent you ads for Silverstone this year?
Yeah.
So, from my perspective, Silverstone is not something you can sell to someone that's not a Formula One fan.
I agree.
So, I've been seeing these TikToks of ads for Silverstone. like, from, I wouldn't even say F1 content creators, and if they were from F1 content creators, I don't think I would be as fazed by them. From,
it's more like lifestyle creators.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I've been flagging this for a couple of months, haven't I? Saying it must not be selling because they're moving on to TikTok ads. They're not utilising the right people. That is a situation where they should go after the F1 content creator.
Yes, I agree. That is quite perfect.
A few. Obviously, they need a big following. Completely respect that. But I could still
even have these ones that you're sending to me don't have a big following as such. Some of them don't even have like 10k.
So, this whole ticket situation, I know the easiest thing is the ticket prices, 100%.
Yeah.
That is it. But I also feel like people have started to realise it's a lot cheaper to go to an abroad race.
I agree.
And also, I feel like once you've been so long, maybe people are just happy to sit. You could not blame a driver.
No, I agree. And it's not even like we've had bad racing.
I'm trying to find the words, but I just can't.
No, I agree. Like, who sat there and thought, these £300 tickets for one day aren't selling because one driver is dominating? It's just not true.
Well, how did it sell out last year when the year before?
With such a strong season that Lando's having, one of the fan favourites, his chance he could win here, like, just pinning it on one driver, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
They could have reduced the ticket prices as well. In fact, they increased them, I saw.
Yeah, they have! Anyway, let's talk about Le Mans, because I feel like I can't not talk about it. Obviously, I was supposed to go, didn't go.
Did Ferrari win with the door off?
No, I don't think the door's off.
It was broken.
I think it was open for a bit. I don't think it was off, though, but they did win, which was, honestly, that last hour of the race was unbelievable. Formula One could never.
It wasn't. Who drove this year for Ferrari?
So there's two, well, there's technically three Ferrari teams, but there's, no, two Ferraris. Two Ferraris, not three Ferrari teams. Two Ferraris, the 50 and the 51. In the 51 is who Antonio Giovinazzi's car.
Is he still in it?
Yeah. So he drove the 51. They didn't win. Number 50 did win. And I'm trying to think of the name.
I've put you on the spot here.
I know, you're killing me here. I want to say Fuoco is a driver in that. Number 50 Ferrari. But they've won back-to-back now, which is great. Love that for them. I'm just here for it.
Because I text you while it was on. I'm still, my head with endurance racing is not. I text you saying, is Arthur Leclerc in Le Mans? Because they posted that he won.
Yeah, he was doing the Ferrari challenge.
So how many races is going on during the 24 hours of Le Mans?
That race wasn't held at Le Mans that he raced. I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
They really shouldn't do multiple things on one weekend.
I agree. But, so we had Fuoco, Molina and Nielsen in the Ferrari that won. Which probably means nothing to you. the finish of it was so good because basically what had happened was the Toyota had pitted and they were like something like 60 seconds behind, let's say. They were 60 seconds behind, but they had pitted and they had more energy. And this is the car that Nyck de Vries is in, right? So
he was in Le Mans?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why he couldn't race in Formula E a while ago, because he was doing a wet race.
Oh, okay.
So we've got a big gap like this. These have got more power, but these have got a gap, right? Toyota, Ferrari. The Ferrari comes over the line. I'm pretty sure it's got like 1% energy left. But like I can't even describe the tension because you kept seeing the power just go from like 10, 7, 3, and it was like this Toyota was getting closer and closer and closer. And I'm like, but they've got the space and the energy, and it was just, there was a lot going on. It was intense, but it was so good.
Okay, I feel like that adrenaline I really would like about it.
I was sat on a ferry wanting my life to be pretty much over because of how awful it was sat on that ferry, but I was just like, this is the only thing keeping me here right now.
Oh, well, maybe by next year.
I said this last year
that this year I would watch it all, but they had a lot of people went this year.
So many people went this year.
people I follow.
Yeah. You can't really watch it all, though. It's not something you sit down and watch the 24 hours. To be fair, there was, like, a safety car for, like, 4 hours of it.
Yeah, I'd like to grow my knowledge on even F1 still. There's just so much you always can learn. However, I want to conquer IndyCar next.
Yes, and you have good reason for this, potentially.
Apparently, word on the street, Logan Sargeant is going to IndyCar next year because Prema are getting a team.
Are they?
Yes, which is interesting. I saw a very interesting TikTok of a girl. I'm really sorry, I'm not good with names. If we post this, I will tag. And she said she's not happy about Logan. Well, she didn't say she's not happy. She was like, Logan Sargeant coming to IndyCar is making IndyCar look like a dumping ground for Formula One drivers.
That's a good point.
Fully respect it. She's American, so IndyCar is probably like her core
thing
to watch. And I thought, it kind of is to us. I feel like I see IndyCar as a step down for Formula One drivers.
I agree.
And people see Formula E as a step down, but really, for core fans of that sport, it's probably very annoying.
I agree completely. And have you not seen all of the stuff going on with McLaren over at IndyCar recently?
They dropped Teo Pourchaire.
Before he even did a full race.
And then they dropped, obviously, what's it called?
There's Palau, I think.
No, he's still there.
He's still there.
So is Pato.
Yeah, who was the other one that they dropped someone because he'd, like, broken something. They were like, he's out.
But they were using him so much for media.
Yeah, no, I agree. Who was it? I can't remember what his name was now. So they brought him, they took him out, brought somebody else in. He did one race, chucked him out, brought Teo in. He did, like, a test or something. They were like, oh, you can stay for the rest of the season. Didn't even do a race. And then they chucked this new kid in who just won at Le Mans.
Zach Brown needs to count his days because we are noticing it.
He's giving Helmut Marko a run for his money.
The Formula E is in America.
It is.
It's race weekend.
It is,
yeah. And then it's the final race weekend.
Yeah, London.
London.
Which you're ditching me for.
I've got a busy month, guys. No. Maybe I'm expressed here.
Okay, so this is actually a really interesting story, and I heard this on the road trip, and I was like, I need to write this down. So, do you know the surname Ascari? Racing driver. So there's Alberto and Antonio Ascari, right?
Yeah.
So, Antonio Ascari died 26th of July 1925 in Monza when coming out of a fast left-hander, right? And prior to that, four days prior to that...
Pause. Is the track called Ascari? Like, has it got a corner?
Maybe.
Carry on. I will search.
4 days prior to this accident where he died, he had a near-fatal crash in Monaco. He had won 13 Grand Prix by the time he died, right? He was aged 36 and 10 months old. Let's just think that, let sink in. Later, his son, Alberto Ascari, died also on the 26th day of a month in 1955 in Monza on the same left-hander, having survived a near-fatal crash in Monaco 4 days prior, and he won 13 Grand Prix. He was aged 36 and 10 months old. How mad is that?
Where did you find that fact out?
My mate Paul Challoner. He told me, and I was like, I need to write this down.
Well, fun fact, the corner is called Ascari. That's how I know it.
That's where they both died.
Well, my fun story's not as fun as yours.
Well, I wouldn't quite say mine's fun, to be honest.
But interesting fact.
Yeah, same corner, same crash happened prior, same age to the day, no, to the month, same day of the month, same amount of Grand Prix won. Crazy.
That's fate. Well, not fate. That's some spooky shit.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
My fun story's not really a story.
Tell me.
I was on holiday in and some woman was trying to sell us a boat trip.
Right.
And she was showing us this boat trip and blah, blah, blah. Then she goes, do you know Kimmy Raikkonen? I was about to try and do an accent then. Anyway.
I just sounded like you.
She goes, do you know Kimmy Raikkonen? And she looked at me like I would have no clue in the world. And I go, yeah, the Formula One driver. And she goes, you know? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And Jack, she looked at Jack like he should know, not me. Anyway, it was his boat.
Stop.
They bought it off him.
Did you go on it?
No, we didn't have time. But it was his boat. And I just thought, what a small, like, I don't know, but when things bring up to me about my hobbies, I think small world.
Small world.
And then also on my holiday, I picked up this book.
Oh my God, how was it? How is it?
I not finished it, but you know what? If I didn't already love Bernie Collins, I just love her more. The way this book is written, obviously I don't know if she's personally wrote it, she's just so kind. Like, you can feel her kindness in the book. When she's talking about something, she'll put a little comment, be like, don't worry, we'll cover this later, or we'll go more into detail this later. The way she speaks about her old employees and the people she's worked with and anyone that's been a part of her journey, I'm just like, thank God you have been given a platform.
Really?
It's just, and it's not, it's very technical, but it's not too technical that you wouldn't understand it. So that's why maybe I'm not taking it in, because I've got no clue what they're about.
Do you think you'll be able to watch a race now and think, ah, that's what she's on about? I remember her talking about that.
I think so, and that's what I love about her. She explains these technical things that, like, Martin might talk about on the grid, or...
Yeah.
You kind of, it just goes over your head, especially for people like me who have no idea about cars. But she explains it in a way that you actually think, oh, next time, oh, I remember her saying about that. I love the way she talks about tyres. Like,
okay.
But yeah, I really recommend this book. It's obviously a non-fiction, so it's one of them you can pick up and put down. But
yeah,
she is just an icon. She's a breath of fresh air on that Sky Sports.
Her and Karun, they are a power duo.
Love him. And Anthony Davis, I love him.
Yes, yes. Do you know what? I love Jensen.
There's one man I don't like, and I'm not going to talk about it. But I like them all, and I know this is really rude. I love when Nico Rosberg. I am such a Nico Rosberg fan. He went the Eras Tour.
Slow.
He went the Eras Tour. Nico Rosberg has a way of just making it so fun.
Yeah, do you know what? I know what you mean. I think he's just so unserious, but he knows what you're talking about.
I'm sick of the hate. Stop hating Nico. Harry Benjamin's back on Sky Sports this weekend.
Yay!
So that'd be really nice. I'm excited to hear him on the commentary again. But it is interesting. Like, Martin's not been at every race this season. Obviously, Crofty is missing a few. Are we about to go into, like, a new age?
My God, new era.
Yeah, because I feel like that, obviously Netflix was like a new era for people and people hated on it.
Yeah.
A lot of like the old fans, very like harsh on new fans. But is this going to trigger them more if we are going to go into a new era?
F1, the Eras Tour, his headlining.
Harry's version. You had Crofty's version. And you've got the version. And I honestly don't want to see Crofty go, but you do have to realise one day it's going to happen.
I was going
to
say, at the end of the day, he's going to retire at some point. So we might as well start the handover process now, so it's seamless. I met Martin Brundle's son.
Alex Brundle?
Yeah.
He's the F2 commentator. What? Yes. What? Tell me.
I completely forgot. I've literally just remembered now at Nürburgring. I suddenly had a conversation with him.
Why did you not tell me?
I forgot that it was him.
Him and Alex Jax are great commentators. Yeah. Sometimes I do wish we had F1 TV, because Alex Jax is it Alex Jax? Is such a good commentator. Right. And the way he speaks about, like, Crofty's very good, and this is not anything against him. Alex Jax has a way with words when someone wins a race.
Okay.
And I would love to have F1 TV back in the UK. I was scrolling on TikTok the other day, and the Ream trend is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I saw everyone saying that they need to get George Russell to do it, which is typical, and I can see it, but I feel like there's some other drivers that could be Ream.
Okay, so what drivers are Ream?
100% Fernando Alonso.
The things I would do to see Fernando Alonso doing the Ream trend.
I feel like it's likely, because they are quite good Aston Martin with, like, giving the people what the people want.
Do you know who else I think is quite Ream? I think Nico Hülkenberg.
Ow! You are so right. I love Nico Hülkenberg so much.
What would be iconic is seeing Max do something like that.
See, I thought this because he's coming out of his shell a bit more. I feel like they might do it, but it'll just be clips of him, not him doing it. But I also then thought Sergio Perez would... I feel like both of them...
Together!
I feel like the standard is to say, like, you know, George, Lando... But Sergio Perez would actually be really good at that TikTok.
Right, guys, that was a lovely long episode. It's been a hot sec since we've actually done anything. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back with a few more shorter episodes. We're going to do some deep dives on different things, aren't we? So we will see you for a pre-British Grand Prix. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.